This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
I'm walking, here's the day and I'm talking. Find you and me, I'm hoping that you come back to me. I'm lonely as I can be. I'm waiting for your company. I'm hoping that you come back to me. What you gonna do when the well run dry? You gonna run away and hide? I'm gonna run right by your side. For you pretty baby, I even die. I'm walking, yes indeed, and I'm talking. But you and me, I'm hoping that you come back to me.
Hey, a little bit of Pat Domino there for you. Remember him? I do. I'm walking. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us on this Friday, August the 18th, and we got a lot going on. In a few minutes, Richard Stern of the Heritage Foundation is going to join us, and we are going to talk about how many Americans are turning skeptical to our Ukraine aid, which, by the way, now costs us, listen to this, it now costs us $900 per U.S. household. $900. That is a lot of money. And our new Fox News poll shows that voters want schools to teach more about citizenship and less about gender ideology. How's that for some good news? We're going to take a look at that poll, so stay tuned for that. And should black people treat their race as a handicap? A handicap? Would you believe that's apparently what a class at Princeton University is teaching? And we are going to check into that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, the top 10 best TV buddies. You know, I think of a lot of comedy shows, you know, with the star has this best friend and, you know, that kind of a relationship. Anyway, top 10 best TV buddies. Freedom Works, by the way, is sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Guys, it is the best place to go for a haircut in Tampa Bay. I am going this right after the show so I can continue to look pretty. But they are located in Dunedin in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 on Overcash Drive. Call, please, first for your appointment, 727-733-3773. And Arbor Life Tree Service. Guys, gals, everybody, whether it's you want to get a flock of new trees, you want to cut a tree down, you want a stump removal, tree removal, whatever, if it has to do with trees, call Arbor Life Tree Service. They are Tampa Bay's premier tree service. Call for their free estimate, 727-330-1999. So I see where Hunter Biden and his misdemeanor tax charge have been dismissed by a federal judge in Delaware. It apparently was an expected move after that sweetheart plea deal of his fell into the basement last month during his first court appearance. Now, the Justice Department submitted a filing last week to dismiss the case ahead of a possible trial, and it would be on his felony gun charge in a different district. So they're going to consolidate things over there. After the plea deal fell apart, Hunter pleaded not guilty to, as federal prosecutors confirmed, he is still under federal investigation. He was expected to plead guilty to two misdemeanor tax counts of willful failure to pay income tax as part of his plea agreement to avoid any jail time on the felony gun charge. But that is no longer the case. The special prosecutor, David Weiss, who was just announced as special prosecutor by Merrick Garland last week, has strongly rejected claims by Hunter's legal team that his office reneged on the plea deal. And so Whether or not there's really a big rift between David Weiss and Hunter Biden's attorneys, I don't know. I don't trust David Weiss. We'll see where all of this goes. But it's getting, as they say, more and more curiouser. I think it was Alice in Wonderland that used to say that term. Now, a Fox News poll, it's a new one, it was released yesterday. It finds voters of all stripes agree on one thing when it comes to public schools. There is too little discussion on citizenship, on the ways of being a good citizen. 70% feel that way, and that includes majorities of Democrats, 65%, Republicans, 75%, and independents, 71%. I think that's kind of good news. If that's true, hopefully parents will be pushing these school districts to get more civics into the classroom. In addition, over half of those that responded feel there are not enough lessons on reading and writing. 54% say that. And when it comes to math and science, 50% say there are not enough lessons on those courses, while a sizable minority feels that way about racism. 44%. 44%. That's a large number. These numbers are bolstered by majority of Republicans that feel reading and writing, there's too little teaching of that. 61% say that. And 60% say there's too little math and science being taught. That's Republicans. A majority of Democrats feel there is not enough focus on racism. 67% of Democrats feel that there should be more focus on racism in class. That's kind of interesting. Overall, 23% of voters say sexual orientation and gender identity are not receiving enough attention in the classroom, while close to half, 48%, feel it is being taught too much, including 19% of Democrats. I would have thought it would have been a higher rate, feeling it was being taught too much, but it says here 48%. Moreover, Democrats divide between gender identity and not being taught enough or about the right amount. They say gender identity not being taught enough, 39% say that. About the right amount, 34%. While three-quarters of Republicans, 77%, feel there is too much focus on it. So there is a wide rift between Democrats and Republicans on teaching gender identity in the classroom. I don't know why they would want to teach it, especially to the little kids. They're still learning how to pronounce words, you know, and add two and two. I just don't understand this. Although when you see how, it seems to me, how ignorant kids are coming out of high school and public schools, you wonder what has been going on all of those years. Anyway, it does seem like most people feel like we have to get back to the basics when it comes to class. And that, I think, is a good thing.
Yeah, I'm thinking that these days teachers are not teaching our kids.
No.
The internet is teaching our kids.
Yeah, that's scary, isn't it?
They're getting what they want on the internet, and they're believing what they see on the internet.
Yeah.
They believe that if it's there, it's
Yeah, I think
true.
You're right. You know, we've lost our focus with our kids because, like you say, they're getting data from all these different directions coming into their heads. Television, the internet, mm-hmm. and all of these other things that are going on. And what are the teachers doing, you know? I wonder, I would, it's been so many years since I've been in the classroom, I can't, you know, but it would be interesting to sit in the back of the room and watch.
But it still comes down to
typical public schools class being taught.
It still comes down to the same equation. I think it's parents. Because the parents could control how much their kids are using the internet at home. You know?
If the kids are sitting in front of them, they can.
Well, it's probably a babysitter in most homes.
Yeah.
You know, the computer. is probably a babysitter to most homes.
I agree with that.
And too much is being unlocked for them. You know, you know, they can stay off the porn sites, I guess. But anything else is YouTube. It is, everything is on YouTube.
I don't think I'd want to grow up in this era. I really think it's...
Well, it's...
Look at the way kids seem to be more screwed up, traumatized, more...
But when you were growing up, did your parents limit your TV time?
Yeah.
Okay, so did mine.
Yeah. I mean, my dad worked in TV reporting, so we had the TV on a lot. But at a certain point, well, first of all, when I came home, I didn't want to watch TV. I wanted to go outside.
Right, so did I.
Yeah. So that was good.
But TV time
After dinner, I watched TV.
Yes, homework was done.
And homework had to be done first.
And then you could sit in front of the TV from, 8 to 10?
9:30, 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little older, maybe 10. Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. I agree.
Now it's, Mom, bring my dinner to my room, set it next to the computer.
Yeah, I think that's another thing. All right, we're going to take our break, and when we come back, Richard Stern is going to join us from the Heritage Foundation, and we are going to talk about how many Americans are turning skeptical about all of that money that we are sending to Ukraine.
Well, come on, everybody, and let's get together tonight.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Friday, Freedom Works. Thank you so very much for being with us, and we are delighted to have Richard Stern join us. He is the director of Heritage Foundation's Herman Center for the federal budget, and we're going to talk about the aid to Ukraine in their fight against Russia, and the fact that now, believe this or not, the formal amount of aid packages alone that we have sent to the Ukraine amounts to about $113 billion. That's with a B. And that factors down to about $900 per American household. Man, that's a lot of money. Richard, welcome to Freedom Works.
Thank you so much for having me on. And yes, it is a lot of money.
Oh, wow. You know, when you look at it from that standpoint, I can see why a lot of Americans are starting to question just exactly what is going on here and when this thing is going to end.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think we now have 20, 30 years at this point of perpetual wars and endless wars. And so the American public wants a real plan, which is what Dr. Kevin Roberts, president of the Heritage Foundation, was talking about. They want to see a real plan if we're going to keep sending that money abroad. And You know, I think the important part of this is we're suffering from inflation and interest rates. There are 40-year highs right now, and it's because of government spending, because every dime the government spends is a dime that takes from your paycheck through normal taxes or inflation taxes. So that $113 billion matters, and the new $24 billion Biden wants to dump on top of it matters as well to real America.
Yeah. And you say, along with all of this, you say, with all new federal spending, we're adding a great amount of money to our national debt, and will cost more than $300 in interest costs per household as well. It just seems like if we could see some, what's the word, traction, some results in, and also, I mean, let's be honest, there's always the concern that a lot of that money goes down a rabbit hole, and it doesn't really go directly to the fight.
Absolutely. Yeah, and you know, part of what we're seeing right here is there's no real accountability. It's not like there's an agency or an inspector general or something that actually makes sure the money goes where it's supposed to go. In fact, what we our understanding is a lot of it has not gone where it's supposed to go. And so, you know, this is just more of the same from the Biden administration. They steal your money, they give it to their friends, they don't really keep up on it to make sure it goes where it's supposed to go, and then they come back to you and ask for more money without showing any results whatsoever.
Yes, I think you're absolutely right. And, you know, with all of the, let's face it, the hanky-panky going on with Hunter Biden and Joe Biden and the whole thing in Ukraine, and whether or not there's, you know, promises made and this and that and the other thing going on, you know, a little quid pro quo. So you can throw that into the mix as well, and you start to question the motivation.
Absolutely. And, you know, the other part of this, right, is that it comes after, it's now just the last of many, many, many of these things from Biden, where he's trying to steal our money, where he's promising us something good for it, and he can't really see what the benefit is or where it's going. You know, one of the jokes I've made about this is, during World War II, when we helped Britain, when we helped our allies, Lend-Lease was to provide military equipment. You know, most of the aid we've provided to Ukraine has been for, quote, economic assistance. In fact, a large chunk of that aid literally went to the pension fund for government workers in Ukraine. This is pretty far.
Wow. You know, and the other thing is, what are the other NATO countries spending on this? I mean, you know, the ones that are right next door to this going on. I mean, what's Germany doing? What is what's France doing? What are and Poland and the like? What are they doing?
I'm glad you asked. That's a great question. None of them have opened their books to it. The understanding we have is that the U.S. is outspending all of them by miles and miles. Germany, in fact, is kind of notoriously through this whole process, provided almost nothing and has kind of gone on record saying they don't want to give more than a minimal amount to Ukraine. So you make the exact right point. It begs the question, if they're not supporting this, why are we all in on it?
Yeah, exactly. We're talking with Richard Stern. He is the director of the Herman Center for the Federal Budget at the Heritage Foundation. And we're talking about all the money we're tossing into this Ukraine war. We're wondering what kind of results that we are getting out of it. This includes the actual weaponry, right, that we are sending over. I mean, that's factored into this total cost. Most people don't realize $900, almost $1,000 per household. But you know, when you look at it from that standpoint, you go, wait a second, let's put the brakes on this. Let's see some sort of a resolution. I mean, if we're going to spend this kind of money, maybe we should be figuring out a way to end this thing. Now, we got Donald Trump, who claims that if he becomes president again, he's going to end the war within 24 hours. I'm not so sure that's going to happen, but I think he probably would have some sort of a plan to get some negotiation going on here, get something going on.
Absolutely. But, you know, at the end of the day, that kind of is what's required to get the war to end at any length of time, right? I think, you know, everybody knows that Biden's weak. I think the Russians know that they can keep pushing, and the Ukrainians know that they can keep milking us for all we're worth. And Biden's just going to keep, you know, helping both of them do that. So, you know, at some level, right, I think there's a lot of truth to what Trump's talking about, which is if someone came in that said, no, you're right, $1,000 is too much per household, we're not going to just write a blank check or a series of blank checks. We want a real plan. We want to see real progress. We want to really know what's happening. That might make some progress. And I should say, by the way, if Biden gets his way and we get this new aid package, it's going to be close to $1,100 per household. And then the interest costs from that over a 10-year period are going to be $360, $370 per household. So, I mean, you're looking at having committed over the next decade $1,500 per household, something kind of in that ballpark.
Yeah. Now, you can't really break this down into the Democrats want the aid and the Republicans do not, because we have groups on both sides, in both parties. So, for instance, the House, which is controlled by the Republicans, are the ones that decide the spending. Is McCarthy and the gang, are they up for additional expenditures in the Ukraine war?
Well, you know, so here's the thing I would say about this. If we look at back at the Fiscal Responsibility Act of so that was the debt ceiling bill. What you saw there is three quarters of the House and the Senate, both parties, voted for that bill. Now that bill is likely going to increase spending and increase, as such, the inflation and interest taxes that Americans are paying right now. So, you know, in my mind, what that shows when we talk about Heritage is kind of the D.C. cartel, the Uniparty, that wants to spend money. So the left and the right disagrees on how to spend the money. But, you know, it was only a quarter of the Congress that actually said, no, this is not what we believe in. We don't think the taxpayers are just there to be milked for the interests of bureaucrats and politicians. And I should say this, right? You know, in general, McConnell and a lot of the Republican leadership in Congress has talked about the need for a supplemental bill. Now, they're talking about pairing disaster money with Ukraine money, which, of course, this is how you know D.C.'s up to something. They take two different things that are both popular, and they throw them together into a random new bill, and then they introduce it with maybe a day or so in between that and the vote. That's what they're looking to do to us here when Congress comes back out of recess in a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm. You know, the irony is a lot of people bring up the fact that we can't even seal our southern border, no matter what we do. People pouring in our southern border. Yeah, we'll go over there and spend all of this money for the war in Ukraine. And it almost is just, if we were spending that money down at the southern border, maybe we'd have a more secure border, you know, build a wall, whatever it would take. Do you hear that a lot?
Oh, at $113 billion, I could build you the best wall you've ever seen.
Yes, you can. Would that be gold-encrusted wall, wouldn't it?
I should say, by the way, off the top of my head, I believe what we've spent in Ukraine is around 10 times kind of the gold-plated request that Trump had originally made for all of the security at the border, wow, not just a big, beautiful wall. So, yeah, that's what we're looking at right now. And so the drugs that are pouring in, the guns that are pouring in, all the cartels that pour in, that are killing Americans, that are undermining our rule of law and our border and all of that, Biden doesn't care about.
Yeah.
But Ukraine, the different matter.
You know, it'll be interesting. Wednesday of next week, they're going to have the Republican debate, the first Republican presidential debate. And it would be interesting to see what those candidates have to say about all of this money that they are spending in the Ukraine. And I would think that if one of those Republicans said, look, we got to stop this thing, you know, I don't know how many would come up and say that. I think if Trump is there, and there's a question about whether he will be there or not, but if Trump was there, he might talk a lot about the fact that, you know, we got to end this thing. We got to stop all of this spending.
It certainly would be nice to have them focus on it. I will say this, right? We've seen this in the past, though, where the people that run for president sing one tune, and then the people in Congress that actually have got your pocketbooks in their hands sing a different tune. So I'm absolutely in favor of having people go out there and champion the truth. I'm glad that I've had the opportunity to come on your show today and talk about this as well with you. But, you know, at some level, voters have to keep Congress accountable. It's not just the president.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I want to... Ed, did you have a question or a comment? Go ahead.
I don't know, Richard. I'm kind of frustrated over here because I hear the billions of dollars that are going to Ukraine, and we got a natural disaster in Hawaii, and Biden doesn't even want to talk about it, and then he throws them a bone by giving them $700 per household so they can get medication and toiletries and stuff like that. It would just be easier if you've been displaced in Hawaii, get on a plane and get on a bus and go to New York and you stay at the Roosevelt Hotel for free and get money and a cell phone and you'll be set.
Yep.
Or come through the southern border. Go down to the southern border and come back in.
Just
come
sneak back in again. Well, you don't even have to sneak now.
And tell them where you want to go. I'd like to go to New York, please.
I don't know how you can... the money that goes to Ukraine, and I understand there's a war going on, but at some points, when the United States of America has a disaster, you kind of put some things on hold, like any normal household would do. We can't go out tonight and spend $100 on dinner because we're spending an extra $100 on electricity this month.
Yeah.
And you make a fantastic point, right? Which is that literally it would be better for people in Hawaii to sneak into Mexico to illegally cross the border to declare themselves asylum seekers. They would be treated infinitely better by the federal government than they are by being Americans in Hawaii right now.
Yeah, they get more funding, that's for sure.
It even goes deeper than that. There's veterans of our wars that are on the streets, and they can't even get into the Roosevelt Hotel because they don't speak Spanish.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, wow. Richard, it's a pleasure. Thank you so very much. Keep up the good fight on this, if you would.
Likewise. Thanks again for having me on.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Richard Stern, Heritage Foundation. All right, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, this is really something. There is a course at Princeton University teaching black people that they should treat their blackness as a handicap.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop. If you own a home, I bet you're flooded with tree service mailers. So who do you call? ArborLife Tree Service is my choice. When I needed a bunch of trees taken down, they did it safely and at a great price. But ArborLife not only removes trees, they plant trees, they trim them, they prune, they spray, and they fertilize as well. They're ISA certified, they're veteran owned. I'm telling you, you can't go wrong. Call them for a free estimate. 727-330-1999. That's 727-330-1999. ArborLife Tree Service. They really will go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
On a Friday, Freedom Works. Thank you so very much for listening to us. So in North Carolina, I think this is kind of good news. North Carolina has banned sex change surgeries and related care for minors after the Republican legislature overrode the Democratic governor's opposition. They overrode his veto and they said, no, 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 not so fast. Let's leave these kids alone. First of all, what the hell is the Democratic governor of North Carolina, of all places, wanting to allow sex change surgery for kids?
To that, my answer would be duh.
Yeah. And in North Carolina, of all places, you know, I always thought North Carolina was kind of a red state. Are they that screwed up in North Carolina? Anyway, here's another thing. And I heard this today, and I don't know. We got our buddy Andrew, the Master Barber, with us here. Andrew, yes or no, is Donald Trump going to be in that Republican presidential debate on Wednesday?
That's a tough one. I think he's going to beat her just to show his stuff.
The reason I asked you that is I heard a rumor that he's already decided he's not going to be there, and I thought, boy, that would be a mistake.
I don't think it'd be a mistake either, because all you're going to see, you know, you got Ron with his new platform that he's trying to change his ways, and he said he's going to handle the debate differently.
Yes.
He's supposed to go against Chris Christie if Chris Christie starts going after Trump. I think Ron is trying to redeem what he did to the Trump voters, you know, as far as the things that he said and he's done. And, you know, we all know what Trump is about, Paul.
Yeah.
We don't know what the other morons are about, but we know what Trump is about. So yeah. I don't really need to listen to them, to be honest with you.
Really?
Because you know what?
I can't wait, Paul? Why?
Because you know why? All they're going to be talking about is every one of Trump's plans that he has, and they're all going to say that they're their ideas.
That's what I think. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's kind of why I think Trump should be there. First of all, Chris Christie is going to absolutely lay him out.
He's going to bury himself.
Christie's going to do it. There's a couple of others, if they make it, are also going to go after Trump. And like you say, with Ron DeSantis, he might be changing his game plan a little bit. He's got a new guy running things for him.
Listen, Chris Christie is not squeaky clean by any means. You have to remember, this is a guy that had his assistant shut down the toll booths so voters couldn't get across the river. And what was
across the bridge, yeah.
What was his approval rating when he left? 9%? Something like that?
He has no chance. I don't understand him even running other than to diss Donald
Trump. He's
just
trying to discredit Trump. That's all he's trying to do. But you know what? How stupid are these Republicans? They see how strong Trump is. They need to get on the bandwagon and back this guy. They need to start going against the Democrats that are charging all these indictments against the guy. They're not giving him no support. I wouldn't waste my time with these people, to be honest with you.
What about the Indian guy whose name I always screw up?
Ramaswamy.
Yeah, he seems to be somewhat sympathetic to Donald Trump.
Well, he is. He is. And you know what? He's a good guy, and that's why he's never going to make it in politics.
That's the thing. If Trump is elected, don't you think there's going to be a nice, lush position for him in the Trump White House somewhere?
Well, that would be a good thing for him because he'd have a good guy behind him.
Well, that's what I'm thinking, that he's really thinking, you know, that he's not going to win, but there's a chance that if he says nice things about Donald. Also, I don't know if you saw it, but yesterday, Larry Kudlow, the business guy on Fox Business Network, had a full hour interview with Donald Trump. It was rather interesting. Larry Kudlow was in the White House for both Donald Trump and, believe it or not, Ron Reagan. And he's a big-time Donald Trump supporter. And, of course, they talked a lot about, the inflation and the economic side of things and what Trump would do, you know, once he gets back in. And, of course, he would open the spigots again. If I were Donald Trump, that's the thing I'd be talking about. One of the first things I'm going to do is drill, baby, drill. I'm going to open those spigots. We're going to get back to fracking. We've got more. Trump was saying, you know, he says, I call it liquid gold. We got more energy in this country underneath us. And, you know, we don't need to go taking it from Venezuela, the dirty tar oil from Venezuela and from Saudi Arabia.
Well, you got to realize that these are all Biden's comrades, okay? That's why he shut ours down to funnel money through them.
Yeah.
Getting money from, that's all it is.
Well, he's taking payoffs from a bunch of them. We know that.
Of course. Well, look at the alias names they come up with yesterday they found them using.
I was looking for that story. I couldn't find it.
Yeah. I forgot that they have three different aliases that they were using underneath, to try and cover up all their schemes with different businesses and everything.
Is one of them Brandon something or other?
No, that's the name they gave him I forgot what there's three different ones. But
okay.
You know what, Paul, they're coming down. They're coming down. Okay? They keep getting closer and closer to all this truth that's been going on. And the people are going to see it. And the news is going to have to talk about it. They're going to have no choice.
I think you're right. In fact, In fact, I have a story about that. I wasn't sure if I'd use it. But the headline is, the media forced to cover Hunter Biden's scandal after spending years avoiding the explosive story. And it goes on to talk about it. Now, in particular, after Merrick Garland appointed David Weiss as a, I guess, a special prosecutor.
Oh, what a joke that is.
Oh, of course, yeah. Well,
what
of course
a
it is.
Joke. They couldn't make any more of a joke. But that this whole administration, Paul, is going to tumble. That it's breaking apart piece by piece, and no matter how or who's trying to cover it up, the truth is coming out.
I'm telling they want it to tumble. They want it to tumble.
The Democrats, that's
the easy way to get them both off the ticket.
Yeah, well, they're trying to get rid of Biden. There's no question about it.
I think
the Democrats are slipping out all this information so they can get rid of him.
I don't even think they have to do it. I think Biden is showing himself to be incapable of running again. I think everybody around him, I think his family knows he's not capable of running again. He's barely able to talk straight now. Yeah, I mean, he's reading things, and I still can't understand half the words that he's saying because he's not able to enunciate very much anymore.
Yeah, I saw that.
He's getting worse.
I saw a clip of him 2 years ago, and what a big difference.
Noticeably, isn't he noticeably worse? If you go back to when he was running against Trump, I mean, he sounded like a Rhodes Scholar next to what he sounds like now.
All right.
Well, you never know. Maybe his wife's trying to get rid of him slowly. Give him a little antifreeze every night. You never know.
She has a doctor.
He wants all that money Hunter's been giving him. She wants it.
She is a doctor, right?
Hey, you never know.
You know, now that I think about it, that makes a great deal of sense. It's slowly killing him. We shouldn't talk like that. But
a tablespoon of antifreeze every night.
the green stuff, the good stuff.
The good stuff. It's sweet.
By the way, I don't know if this has anything to do with anything, but did you ever hear that if you slowly take arsenic that you can build up a tolerance to it?
I don't know. I've been married 4 times.
I don't know. Well, should we try that with Joe?
It's probably on a TikTok challenge somewhere. We'll look that up.
I was thinking we could try it with Joe. He might be willing to try that theory out.
but you know, Paul, if you want to see an active party on Wednesday night, you need to go to Conservative Grounds.
Ah.
They're having a big watch party for the debate.
Are they? Well, then Trump better be there. It would be a horrible party if Trump doesn't show up on the debate stage.
You know, let me tell you something. I would bet he's going to make a surprise appearance. They're all going to say he's not going, and then watch all of a sudden, he's going to be on the stage.
At the last minute, he walks onto the stage, do you think?
And let me tell you, if Trump is there, they will have better ratings than Super Bowl. If not, they're going to have ratings lower than CNN.
Well, I agree with that. I mean, if Trump is there, they're going to the ratings will double at least.
Yep.
He's the most interesting man in the country.
But
right
look,
now.
What we get out of these presidential debates is one by one, these candidates will eliminate themselves. I mean, look what Bush did, Jeb Bush. I mean, he was out quickly, and then. Marco Rubio, he stepped on his own tongue a few times. He was out. Even Chris Christie, he was out.
Well, you know what, Ed? There's only one other successful person going to be on that stage with Trump if he's there that is a successful person. Because the other ones are all politicians that never done nothing. None of them have ever been a success at anything. Think about it. But you know, the only one is Ramaswamy.
He's a businessman,
He's a surgeon. His wife is a surgeon, too.
Yeah.
I mean, they're the only ones that are going to be people that talk common sense. There isn't every politician that there is for one reason, Paul, their own self, period.
What do you think about the Carolina Black Scott?
Yeah.
He's a good guy, don't get me wrong.
He's very likable.
Right. Mm-hmm. He's a likable guy. He's got a personality, but again, a politician, Paul.
Yeah.
All this. Every one of them is nothing but a politician, and they have never done nothing in their life.
I think he would be a great vice presidential candidate for Trump.
He'd be good. He'd be a good one.
I mean, really, he'd help garner the black vote, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe Ron might be trying to suck up a little bit too now, but I think that's too far gone.
I don't think he's going to be the VP.
I don't think Ron's looking for second place.
No, and I don't think Trump's looking to put him on the ticket.
It wouldn't make any sense. He's not looking for second, and he's never going to get first.
And that's why he's kept his job here in Florida.
Yeah, well, you know, hey, he had his cake and eat it. Let's be real.
Yeah.
I'd like to have an opportunity like that, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't know that was fair, to tell you the truth.
I mean, I'd like to have the opportunity to have a job that gives me $500,000 a year, but if I can't make it or do it, I can go back to my barber shop with no problem.
I thought you were making $500,000 a year.
I thought that'd be a pay cut for you.
Let me tell you, if I was making that kind of money, I'd be running for politics.
It is always a pleasure to talk with you, my friend. I'm going to be over there getting a haircut today. Best barbershop in Tampa Bay to get one, so I'm looking forward to that.
That's a great thing, Paul. Say hello to everybody for me while you're there, and let them know I'll be back next week, hopefully.
Oh, by the way, before you go, how are you feeling?
I'm getting there, Paul. I'm getting there.
You feeling better?
The doctor, yeah, he told me yesterday it's going to take me 3 months to get totally recuperated from this thing because it was very, very serious what I had.
Yeah.
I didn't realize how bad, but
at least the culture came back negative. I mean, that's a big part.
That was the most important.
Oh,
so.
Thank God.
That's it. I'm still able to collect my Social Security. I'm not leaving it for anybody yet.
There you go. And you sound good. Yeah, I mean, you really do sound good.
Yeah, I feel a lot better, guys.
Terrific.
Well, yeah, all right.
God love you.
You guys have a good weekend.
Talk to you later. All right. Thanks, bye-bye. Andrew. There he goes, the master barber himself. Okay, let's take our break. And I promise you, we're going to talk about that Princeton course about black people treating their race as a handicap.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. Freedom Works. It's a Friday, and we thank you so very much for listening to us. By the way, we are here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the terrific, great Tantalk Radio Network, and we thank you when you are able to listen. But if you can't listen to us live, thanks to Big Ed, all of our shows are on podcasts, so that means you can go to our website and listen to any of our shows at your leisure. OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Click on the podcast button at the top. Ed's got all the shows, most recent show at the top. And when you go and you look, you'll see who the guest is, what the topic is with the guest, and you'll see what our top 10 is. And then you can pick the show you want to listen to, OurFreedomWorks.com. Ed, did you know that a Canadian woman has been sentenced to 22 years for attempting to assassinate Donald Trump? I didn't know about that. I just read the story here.
No. I heard something about it.
Her name is Pascale Cecile Veronique Ferrier, 56-year-old dual citizen of Canada and France, sentenced to 262 months, which is nearly 22 years, behind bars in Washington, D.C. She had mailed a letter containing poisonous ricin while Trump was president to him.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
She pled guilty in January to violating biological weapons prohibitions. So she called him, she had referred to Trump as, quote, the ugly tyrant clown. And then she's, you know, she sent the letter saying that, and she laced it with this ricin.
So
gets her 22 years.
You're saying they found that when he came to the White House?
Apparently.
But they couldn't find out who brought the cocaine.
No. No. Maybe she... No, I was going to say, maybe she sent... No, I don't know. Exactly. I don't know how they... See, this is the thing. They didn't want to find out about the cocaine. They were afraid to find out about the cocaine.
So, does that mean that Biden's going to pardon her?
We'll see. I think that would be a tough one, don't you?
Mm.
Yeah. All right. And as promised, a Princeton University class... slated for the upcoming school year, claims that black people can be considered, quote, disabled, unquote, due to systemic racism that they face. The class teacher featured a book called Permission to Maim, M-A-I-M, which argues that black people, along with other groups, can be considered disabled since the supposed structures in place limit their agency in society. The apparently, the course aims to decolonize students' thinking and put limits on blacks on the same plane as the mistreatment, discrimination, and prejudice against gay people, also called homophobia. So that must be an interesting class. You go in there and you find out that if you're a black person, that you probably are disabled. Does that mean you qualify for disability payments? Is that what they're trying to do with that one?
When Martin Luther King did his march and his speech and everything, he wasn't looking for blacks to be disabled.
No.
They wanted equality.
Quite the opposite.
They wanted equality. They didn't want special privileges. They wanted equality.
Exactly right.
You know?
Mm-hmm. He wanted complete freedom. He didn't want anything special for them.
He didn't ask for He didn't ask for reparations.
Nope. Exactly. Exactly right. All right. Before we get into our top 10, which is, I think is a good one, your top 10 TV buddies, and I can think of all kinds of good ones, I wanted to ask you what is going on these days. I know that we've got another exhibition game for our beloved Tampa Bay Buccaneers this weekend?
That'll be tomorrow night. They're at the Jets.
Oh, they are. Yeah. Aaron Rodgers and company.
Yeah.
I wonder how long they'll play Aaron Rodgers
if he'll even play.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
Uh-huh. What about our quarterback situation for the Bucs?
This week, Kyle Trask will start. Baker Mayfield will play second.
Okay.
And but the big news is coming out of the Tampa Bay Rays.
Oh, what's our the big news?
Friend Wander Franco, who has been suspended because possibly had a relationship with a minor.
Oh.
It's not looking good.
Oh.
In fact, one official has already come out and said that he'll never play in Major League Baseball again.
If they convict him of having a relationship with a minor, I think that may very well be the case.
Yep.
Oh, that's terrible. I mean, I'm more worried about the child that situation than I am about him,
remember,
but I'm saying...
We don't know when it started. He was 16 when he got $3 million from the Rays.
Wow.
You know, and was he young
then?
Was he 18 or 19 and she was 16 or 17?
Yeah.
I don't know. They're not telling us.
It was consensual, right?
From what I understand,
we don't know enough about it.
There's no charges against him, no.
Uh-huh.
There's no charges of, rape or anything
like
that.
Right. Well, it's early in the... So, how soon... is he currently not playing?
He's on paid leave.
Okay.
For at least a week.
I see.
So...
They think they're going to resolve it in a week?
If he gets kicked out of Major League Baseball, the Rays get absolutely nothing for him.
Yeah. How are the Rays doing otherwise? I see that Baltimore's in first place.
Yeah,
right?
Still they're about three games ahead of them, and the Rays have won. They've been winning series. You know, two out of three, two out of three, two out of three.
So they're hanging in there.
Yeah, but they seem to tank the third game like,
yeah.
Can't win them all.
But they're still within reach of first, right?
Yeah, but they're sounding like, hey, we'll settle for the wild card. You know, we'll be number one in the wild card race.
Uh-huh. Look at how the Yankees have tanked.
Man, they're barely at 500. Can you imagine being a Yankees fan?
Do you know,
fan?
This is the first time in many years that they are that far down at this point in the season.
And their payroll keeps going up. Anything worse than that would be the Mets. Their payroll's $350 million.
How are they doing?
They're not even, I think they're right at 500.
Wow.
They have no chance of making the playoffs.
No kidding.
No chance.
With all of that payroll.
No chance.
My gosh. All right. All right, Ed. Here we go. This is the top 10 best TV buddies. I want to see how many of these you know. Because some of them I didn't know, all right? So here we go. Number 10. You ever watch Friends?
No, I didn't get that show.
Rachel Green and Monica Geller, or mm-hmm. Geller. Monica and Rachel, they were played by Courtney Cox and Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah.
And they balanced each other out, apparently. All right, number 9. Insecure and Issa Dee and Molly Carter. Do you know anything about those
nope.
two? Navigating life in Los Angeles as a young professional can be challenging. Issa, who is Issa Rae, and Molly, who is Yvonne Orji, I guess it's pronounced, are doing their best, though it can also be intense. All right, number 8. Do you know the show Scrubs?
I know of it.
They're
didn't
like
last
interns.
Very long. Yeah, it didn't last very long.
Oh, really? Well, J.D. Dorian and Christopher Turk. Yeah. What often gets lost in the silliness, goofiness, and childlike antics of J.D. and Turk is the fact that they are pretty good doctors. Number 7. Hey, this one. I remember this one. Fred Flintstone and Barney Rubble.
Yay.
From the Flintstones. Remember that?
Good old Saturday morning cartoon.
Yeah. It was a play on the Honeymooners. The Honeymooners with Ralph Cramden and Ed Norton. All right. Number 6. How about Sex in the City? You remember that show?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. There were 4 of them that were in that one. Carrie Bradshaw, Charlotte York, Miranda Hobbs, and Samantha Jones. Those were the characters. All right. Number 5. Seinfeld. Jerry Seinfeld and George Costanza.
Oh.
You remember them, don't you?
Yeah,
they were great. Best way to describe the friendship between those two? Dysfunctional. Number 4. How about I Love Lucy and Lucy Ricardo and Ethel Mertz?
Mm.
Oh, yeah. That was a great one. Vivian Vance and Lucille Ball. Number 3. Will and Grace. You ever watch that one?
No.
Will Truman and Grace Adler. Is there a best friend duo that relies on each other more than Will Truman, played by Eric McCormick, and Grace Adler, played by Deborah Messing? No matter how many significant others and spouses came into their lives, they were always there for each other. Number 2. Friends. Joey Trapani and Chandler Bing. All right. And number 1. Laverne DeFazio and Shirley Feeney. Laverne and Shirley. Yes, indeedy. There you go. Thank you so very much for being with us. We will indeed be back on Monday. Have a wonderful weekend. Drive safely. And remember, freedom works.